movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid rain. There's a rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watchman for Jesus program this afternoon, this evening. Bible study tonight. We're going to talk tonight about what seems to be, shouldn't be, but it seems to be a very controversial subject. Did Jesus hang on a tree or a cross? People are asking about that. 50-50. Simply because it says in about five verses that he was hanging on a tree. It was clear it's hung on a cross, so then what's the symbolic meaning of the tree? Is the search. Not whether did he hang him on a tree or a cross. But the search is the symbology of writing that he hung on a tree. That should be the question. What does it mean he hung on a tree instead of, wait a minute, was it a cross or a tree that hung him on? That shouldn't even be the question. But it is. The question should be, what does the hanging on a tree symbolize? That's the question. We're going to talk about that, see how far we get. And then, depending on how much time in this hour, coming hour, whether we cover it this hour or tomorrow, about the parable of the fig tree. Now, the fig tree is actually several different references to the fig tree. Covers a lot of area. This is in Matthew's. The fig tree in Matthew. About the signs of the times. Well, we'll get into that this afternoon later. Or tomorrow. And then we'll cover again the 70 weeks of Daniel, that kind of be like a summary to make it clear about Because I was amazed. I saw it today. The photograph of all the heads of state marching arm in arm and all that silly nonsense. In solidarity, I said, wait a minute. Don't they mostly represent 90% of the old Roman Empire? The feet of clay and iron and clay? Yeah, they do. That's what they are. That's how close we are to this. I realized that the other day. So that's amazing. Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar. His dream told us of that day. Has it transpired yet? No. Not yet. Oh, but it's close. It is very, very close. I wonder why people haven't heard this. Haven't heard it before yet. Y'all run across it, somebody else has figured that out, let me know. I'd be interested to see what they say. But that is the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. That Rome was not defeated from without, but from within. And the nations, the European tribes, divided and separated. France, Germany, Italy, the Roman Empire, divided from within, are coming together for ISIS. ISIS is the symbology, not of a terrorist group, but of the age of Aquarius. ISIS is exactly what that means. The ICE challenge, ICE bucket challenge, is part of ISIS. The terrorist group called ISIS, all that means is bringing on the age of Aquarius. What that talks about. It's what that really means. We try to tell the truth about Jesus Christ. They're trying to hide the truth about how Satan is bringing this new world order to part under different ideas of race relations and terrorism. All that's just a bunch of baloney coverage of Satan trying to get his new world order set up. People are so deceived. So we should talk about that today. Matthew 24:32 for the fig tree. It is branches yet tender and putteth forth leaves. You know the summer is nigh. They try to tell you that the fig tree is Israel that came together in 1948. It is not. Then they try to say, well, a generation of man is 70 years. Oh, 70 years plus 1948? Whoa, Jesus is coming in 2017. Or 2018 is when Jesus is coming. No, that's not what it means at all. Hebrew Roots Movement and Sacred Name Movement just not giving up, are they? Let's dedicate the broadcast and let's talk about, was Jesus hung on a tree or a cross? For some of y'all out there, you probably think, well, it's pretty obvious. Well, no, it's not. Because apparently this is a 50-50 decision. For those that's going to listen to this later, my name is Thomas Gambell. Those that don't know me, heard me the first time. I'm on from broadcast is 4 to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Bible studies are Monday through Friday, 8 to 9 p.m. My website is watchmanforjesus.com. Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. And also remind you, before I get started here, that my broadcast and Bible studies are played up in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania by John Kirkler and his network as a favor, and I promote his network, which is highportradio.net, highportradio.net, and he's got sponsors, and look him up, And he's living his dream now, his dream of having his own network and throughout three or four states. It's working, thanks to the listeners. So let's keep it going. And for me, he plays my broadcast and Bible studies. That's it, which is what I like, and I appreciate that. So, let's get started. Lord, we thank you for coming together. Father, bring us together in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, I pray. I lift up to you my sins of impatience, Lord, and thoughts that, Father, I need to repent of. Lord, give me patience, because I'm thoroughly lacking them lately. Lord, forgive me my sins as I lead others in these Bible studies. And Lord, my patience wears thin sometimes, and I need help with them. To let me see others in your eyes. Father, we pray tonight for our brethren that need help of healing, of discernment. Lord, we all pray for discernment and wisdom to come through these end times, to see through the deception. Father, we pray for wisdom, discernment through the Holy Scripture, the Bible. That you'll give us that insight and wisdom to read the words, the opportunities to pass them on to others, and Father, for others that know to share what we've learned. Father, we pray for an awakening in this country of our leaders, of our pastors and preachers, to start lifting up their congregations to the true prophecies of going on in the principles of the Bible, the King James Bible. For an awakening in these churches, an exposure of those false, and exalt those that are true. Father, we pray for healing for our families, bringing them together, Father, with the Holy Spirit of those that's lost, for divine appointments to bring them closer to the bosom. All these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, family, was Jesus hung on a tree? Or a cross? Some of y'all saying there's no sound. Should be sound. It's sound on my side. Should be sound on your side. Sound coming out everywhere. So you might want to reboot, or it must be a computer situation. For those telling me no sound. I got sound on mine. Or I should have, actually. Okay, here we go. Jesus hanged on a tree. 1 Peter 2:24 in the King James Bible. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. There's no doubt that the cross is made of a tree. It's wood. And the two words are interchangeable. Meditating on this scripture is healed many from sickness and injury. You know, Jesus redeemed us by dying in our place. And he experienced that dreadful wrath of God against sins. It's hard for us to understand this sometimes, because as parents, as part of the baby boomers heading into the X generation, Y generation, millennium, whatever generation, I know some days they say, well, be home at 11 o'clock or you're grounded. It's 11:15, 11:20. Ah, don't worry about it. We just kind of let it slide by, unless it's really a serious offense. You see, we tell our children that there's a Santa Claus. Oh, come on, you know, what's wrong with that? It makes them happy. But the question is there a Santa Claus? Period. Is there one? Really? Or is it okay to lie just a little bit? For their own good, we can lie for their own good. What's your own good? Well, make them happy. Is everybody happy on Christmas? If they are, then how come people commit suicide? How come in some houses, children have anticipating that day when they go downstairs or go into the living room and there's presents everywhere? And other kids go out and there's nothing there. Some parents steal so they can provide their kids a couple of presents. If you don't get a present, it's a ruined Christmas. Something's wrong with this picture. Well, the Santa only comes to good kids. I must be a bad kid. I don't think parents realize, I don't think people realize the impact that Christmas has. Of course, the proverbial, traditional Christmas, the kid lives a normal life, you know. You go to high school, or go to grade school, you go to high school, you got Christmas, you got Easter. You got the football team, the debating team, the golf team, the wrestling club, whatever. You got your letters, you got your jacket. You date, you go out, you go to the hamburger shop, and that's where you stay. And you're a cheerleader, you go to prom, you know, and you go to college. You go to college, and there you go to college, okay. And then you get a sorority, fraternity, or whatever. And then you get out and you get married, you get asked, you get aged. It's always. But others don't go that same route. That's reality. So does everybody have fun on Christmas? And is there a Santa Claus? No. Is there Easter Bunny? No. Is there a tooth fairy that when I like my day, you got a dime under your pillow. Today, you got to get a $5 bill. Is there a tooth fairy? No. Tooth fairy brought it. Oh. Where that little brother came from? It came from a stork. Oh. Family, we lie to our kids from the day they're born. At least once a year, Christmas. I remember when I was young, I wanted to set a trap for Santa and find out who he was. Then you wonder why there's so many Santa Clauses all over the town. And they get around, don't he? You start realizing something's funny. Something's not right here. When do we stop lying? When's it okay to lie? You don't even have color-coded lies. You got a white lie, black lie, red lie, lie soap. I don't know, whatever. You got to color-code lies. I can tell a lie if I cross my fingers and hold them behind my back. It's okay. Or I can lie because it's the best thing. It's, you know, the end justifies the means. See, God's not like that. We can't fathom an entity, a being, a creator that hates sin so bad. But then we try to marginalize God. You know how? Ah, come on, man, be cool. God's got a sense of humor. Come on. Well, no, he don't. God don't have a sense of humor. If you send your son to die on a cross for those that sin, is that a sense of humor? No. He's pretty serious about it. Real serious. But we try to marginalize God. Michelangelo, that Illuminati, Sistine Chapel, if that's what it is, the painting of half-dressed old man with white hair touching Adam. That's not the God I worship. I don't know, maybe the God Michelangelo worshiped, but not mine. Mine's a whole lot bigger than some half-dressed, white-haired old man that's touching the finger of Adam. No. We marginalize God. So, we marginalize sin. Therefore, we accept sin as just part of life. God don't. So much so, he sent his only begotten son to die in our place because we're sinners from the beginning. You sin once, that's it. The curse of God who hates sin fell on Jesus. Jesus was God incarnated human flesh. That's why certain Christian sects try to marginalize God by saying, well, no, God and Jesus are not the same. They're different. No, they're not. That's God coming down in flesh so he could sound like, God can't get crucified. You can't crucify a supernatural being on a cross. So he had to come down in the form of Jesus. Inside human flesh. Unlike what Copeland and Joyce Myers, these other heretics and Eastern Stars and Freemasons say, Jesus was not the first born again Christian. He never sinned. Jesus did not redeem men from the curse of the law. He had perfect obedience to the law, is reckoned to us. He delivered men from the law by bearing the curse of death. In death, Jesus did. But the word faith movement, which is major, major, says otherwise. They say that he went to hell. That Jesus was the first born again. But he was not. He was sinless from the beginning. He was the innocent lamb that died in our place. I have audio of Joyce Myers actually talking about that. They all know, they hold nothing back. That's amazing. So many people go to these on TV. Go to the services, buy the books. And it's complete heresy to say that Jesus Christ was tortured and punished in hell. Yet they say it. I can't find right now the, I had it earlier today. About Joyce Myers and what she was talking about in about Jesus. I don't know if I could find it again or not. It Well, let's see what we got here. Word of faith preaching. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." John 19:30.
Do you know something?
There we go.
That blood sacrifice was accepted. Jesus was the first human being that was ever born again. That was sealed. I mean, it happened when he was in hell.
Say what?
Oh, they were having the biggest party that'd ever been had. They had my Jesus in the floor, and they were standing on his back, jumping up and down, laughing, and he had become sin. Don't you think that God was pacing, wanting to put a stop to what was going on? All the hosts of hell were up on him. Up on him. Up on him. The angels are in agony. All the creation is groaning. All the host of hell was upon him. Up on him. They got on him. They got him down in the floor and got on him. And they were laughing and mocking. Ah, ha, 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 ha. You trusted God and look where you ended up. You thought he'd save you and get you off that cross. He didn't. Ha, ha, ha. Sunday morning. Sunday morning. Here comes the sun. Sunday morning. God gets himself together. Ho, ho. Justice has been met. Somehow the thing's been taken care of. And old God gets his voice together. And he hollers out three words. And they go roaring through the universe and entering the gates of hell. He said, "It is enough." It is enough.
Exactly my sentiment. It's enough. Can you believe that? And Copeland says the same thing. That's word of faith teaching. That's definitely Joyce Myers. And Copeland, that was her younger days. Joyce Myers is worse today. They tell you just enough truth to pull you in. Here goes another one.
The devil thought he had him. The devil thought he'd gone. Oh, they were having the biggest party that'd ever been had. That agony. All the creation is groaning. Floor and got on him.
Yeah, that's definitely Joyce Myers. People in denial because they follow this woman. She's an Eastern Star. Copeland is a Freemason. All of TBN, all of 700 Club are Freemasons and Eastern Stars. So what they do is they mix in together truth. And then they throw this nonsense at you. That's how they do it. It's like trying to sell a fuller brush. It's like trying to sell a yard of cloth that's all messed up or something. That's a fraud. It's fake. They want you to find out about it. So they tell you part of the good parts about it, but don't tell you the bad part. Like a used car salesman. All of TBN, no exception. All of them. And what happens is, people that follow them, they get hooked into it. They go into denial. It's like a curse. And they're done. And there's nothing you can do sometimes to pull people out of it. People don't understand just how deep this goes. What they're trying to do is hide the truth about Jesus Christ. Minimize what he did in any way that possible that they can. So, So remember, Jesus didn't abolish the law, he fulfilled it. The law taught that when condemned, criminals were hanged on a tree. It was a sign of their under the curse of God. Deuteronomy 21:23. His body shall not remain all night under the tree, upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land shall not be defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. You see, that's the Old Testament. So remembering that Jesus didn't abolish the law, he fulfilled the law. The law taught that when condemned, criminals were hanged on a tree in accordance with Deuteronomy 21:23. So the cross is also under Rome, and it represents the cube. Saturnalia worship. The cube, when unfolded, is a cross. The cube in Mecca is a cross, but in a cube. It's geometric figures. The cube on the forehead of Jewish rabbis on the wall, it's all pagan. Saturnalia worship is of the Illuminati, the synagogue of Satan. The Holy Spirit sees in the passage that a prophecy of the manner, the Messiah, Savior, he would die to bear the curse of his creatures. So, he is hung between heaven and earth, as though unworthy of either. And in his death by crucifixion, he said to have been hanged on a tree. Now you'll find this in Acts 5 verse 30. First Peter 2:24. Galatians 3:13, Acts 10:39, and Acts 13:29. So again, Acts 5 verse 30, 1 Peter 2 verse 24, Galatians 3 verse 13, Acts 10:39, and Acts 13:29. It is written, the apostle makes good every step of the argument by an appeal to Scripture, as we must do. By the law of Moses, we talked about Deuteronomy 21:23, it was ordained that the body of a criminal who, after being put to death, was exposed on a tree, should not be suffered to remain all night. And the reason is assigned, for he that's hanged is accursed of God. Now you know where lynching came from. Now you know why the streets lined up with Christians on the way to Rome and stakes in ways that you don't want to talk about. That's where the hanging came from. The words of God are admitted by St. Paul, not as inconsistent with as necessary for the purpose. Those who account for the omission of the words by supporting them inconsistent with the acceptance of our Lord's self-sacrifice by his Father as an odor of sweet smell. In Ephesians 5 verse 2, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, hath given himself for us, offering a sacrifice for God for a sweet-smelling savor. And complements Genesis 8:21. And the Lord smelled the sweet savor. And the Lord said to his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing living as I have done. They seem to overlook the fact that if in any true sense Christ became a curse for us, it was a curse of God. Who became a curse for us before Jesus? The Lamb. It was taught to Abel and Cain. God taught that to Adam and Eve. Carried through. Until Jesus Christ became that sacrifice. See how it worked? We know, but it can be objected that the curse to which our blessed Lord submitted was not the same curse as that to which all men became subject by their failure to render perfect obedience to the moral law. And that it was, so to speak, technical rather than moral. But you know, a careful consideration of this passage that we talk about in Deuteronomy 21:23, it'll show that the curse was spoken of applied not to the impalement of the malefactor, but to the violation of the law for which he'd been previously put to death. You see, the body of the one who committed the sin worthy of death was not to hang upon a gibbet after sunset, because the land would be defiled. For the curse of God rests upon it. So, in the scripture doctrine of the atonement, the believer is one with Christ. That's why you put your sins on the cross. So, until at length Jesus Christ takes the place of the believer, and all that the Christian is, all that is was, or might have been, are transferred to Christ. Galatians 3:10. When we revert back to Galatians, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So the apostle shows how complete that this justification really is. Curse has been born, the law is silent. Curse has been removed, the blessing remains. And you know it descends in all its fullness to the Gentiles, as well as the Jews, and that's through faith in the dispensation after the cross. So, it's all in context of the passage being rendered. You know, there's many that's claiming that the generation, that the fig tree parable fits in Israel. In a lot of cases, the fig tree does account for Israel, but it depends on the context of the verse and the scripture. Some will say that, for example, in the Matthews, speaking in context of Scripture, that Israel was created in 1948. A generation is 70 years, therefore the end times would be return of Jesus with 2017 or 2018. Yes, the fig tree in biblical context remains Israel. But in Matthew, the fig tree is not Israel, but is the many signs of the end times. So you got to read the whole scripture to know what it's talking about. So the question remains, has been answered. Was Jesus hung on a tree or a cross? When you look at everything included, where he carried his cross, it says carried his cross. You didn't carry no tree. had three up on the hill, two criminals and Jesus. Didn't have three trees up there. You know, it gets ridiculous after a while. So again, the question isn't, did he hang from a tree or a cross? The question is, what does the scriptures that says hung from a tree symbolize? That's the question. Talks about him being a criminal, but innocent. Refers back to Deuteronomy 21:23 and what hanging really meant. This is what it symbolized. Not whether he was hung from a tree or a cross. I've had people try to tell me that the tree, especially in Genesis period, represents people. So when what they're trying to get people to believe, for example, is when Eve took the apple from the tree, it was Eve taking sex from some yaza or Satan. I said, really? Then, so if it meant that, then what about the trees, all the other trees you can't eat of? Would they have an orgy or something? And it gets ridiculous. They're trying, what people are, they're Calvinist, preterist, different sect trying to get you confused. So they say a tree was really a person, but when you start cutting down to it, it doesn't even come close. Well, this guy, these guys were theologians, but they were Calvinists. And I said, no, don't work that way. Jesus was hanged on a tree. Hanged on a cross, I mean. And the reason, and I gave you the reasons. And that seems to be an issue coming up today's. Now, the parable of the fig tree. Now, there's different parables going on with this. I want to talk about the one has Matthew. And the question is the parable of the fig tree about the generation that saw the rebirth of Israel? Well, number one, Israel today is not Israel of the Bible. The United States is not the promised land. The United States is not in the Bible. Now, we're not even a country. We're a colony getting ready to get divided up into four regions, four different countries in the future. We're not Babylon. We're not Babylon, and we're not the New Jerusalem. I mean, they can't make up their mind what we are. Well, I'll tell you, we're nothing in the Bible. Israel is not the real Israel of the Bible. Jesus comes with new Israel. I got hit the other day downtown here, face to face with some folks that said, well, Tom, the fig tree means that it'll all be fulfilled, everything will be completed by 2019. I said, what about the 7 years of tribulation? Oh, that's already done back in 70 A.D., really? I must have missed the seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven bowls somewhere along the way. He also said the start of the tribulation or rapture has to be in 2012. Well, it's 2015, and I guess we all slept through it. The parable of the fig tree, in this respect of Matthew, is during the discourse from Jesus about the parable of the fig tree in proper context. Now listen to the context. Matthew 24, verse 3. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us. Now listen to what they ask him here. It says, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of this world? That's the question. It's pretty clear. Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You shall hear of wars, and here we go, rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. Now, it doesn't say here who causes them. Won't be God. Satan causing them to try to fake the tribulations, by the way. Continuing, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. Now this would be the fifth seal. And they shall kill you. And they shall be hated. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another, shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Lots going to happen, isn't it? And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We're not seeing that today. Fathers throwing their daughters off of a 60-foot cliff. Sons cutting off the mother's heads. This is almost frequent now. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel, the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Daniel 9:27. That's mid-tribulation. That's beginning of the first trumpet of God's judgment on this earth. All before that is Satan's revenge. But let them in Judea flee to the mountains. Those are the mortals heading to the mountains for protection at the beginning of the first trumpet, because here comes God's judgment. What happened in the flood? God removed Noah, wife, three sons, three wives. What happened in Sodom and Gomorrah? God removed Lot and his family. God removes his people when God's going to bring judgment. But we will be persecuted. Rapture? Nobody knows when the rapture is going to be. You can't even argue about it, because nobody knows. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Man, this means just get out of there and don't look back. And woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as will not seen since the beginning of the world, to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now, there are people saying that's already done. If somebody can figure out when that happens, I'd love to know. Except those days be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And if any man say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in a desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as a lightning cometh out of the east, shineth unto every, shineth even unto the west. So shall also the Son of Man be. Coming, the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will be the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened. The moon shall not give her light. Stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. That's describing the fifth and sixth seal. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. This is the rapture. He shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, you ready? Matthew 24, 32. Now, learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know the summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Now, family, there's no mistake there. All I've described from verse 24, verse 3, all the way to 24, 33, these are things it's talking about. So likewise, when you see all these things that I just finished talking about, know that's near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now, people like to think, well, he's talking to them in those days. That generation came and went, nothing happened. No. It's when these events all take place, whatever generation it is, that's a generation that won't pass till all those things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And here comes the clincher. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming Son of Man be. For in those days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came, took them all away, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man be. There shall be two in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Now when it says come, it don't mean the second coming. This means the coming of the rapture. Somewhere. Before the first trumpet. Somewhere there. Watch therefore, I said that. But know this, that the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come. He would not have watched, would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man comes, who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant, whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, then he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, he shall begin to smite his fellow servants, to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come into a day when he looketh not for him in that hour that he is not aware of. He shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In other words, there's going to be Christians that's going to be real unhappy because they went their own way, their own rebellious way, their own gospel, in denial. They will be left behind. See, the whole discourse here is to reply what the disciples asked Jesus. They ask him, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Well, he gave them the sequence of events I just read you from the scripture. Scholars differ as to the part of it was already fulfilled in Jesus' time, which it wasn't. Or if all yet to be fulfilled, or even if part's been fulfilled. There could be a partial fulfillment in the past, but this whole discourse is about the future. But this parable of the fig tree that I read you in Matthew, it's not Israel. Some believe it is. This last generation started when the UN allowed the rebirth of the state of Israel, they'll say. The regeneration is 40, 50, 70 years. More likely, all Jesus takes place in less than a 20, 30 year period. Since the generation, seeing the signs, would have had to reach the full age of reason to comprehend them at all. But it hadn't happened yet. It's yet to take place. Well, family, we got more to talk about. Come back tomorrow. And I want to talk about, as much as possible that I can figure out, and bring it to you, what has already been fulfilled. At least some of it. We'll discuss that tomorrow night. Now that fits. Let's do close in prayer. And remind you that this radio broadcast is played in HighPointRadio.net by John Kirkler, his private station, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. And his sponsors, use them as you do. You find them useful for you. My website is WatchmanForJesus.com. My Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. I ask you to join me tomorrow at 4 o'clock. We'll talk more about the highlights. I've left out a lot of articles I'm yet to cover of current events that match the objectives that they've been pulling off on us. We'll talk about that tomorrow also. So let's close in prayer, and we'll see you all tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Lord, thank you tonight. Bring us together, Father, in this study. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you've given us in this network that we can do Bible study. And Father, we call upon you that you'll open up the hearts of those that have a stone around them, they may see the truth. Turn away from man and turn to you, Lord. Father, you'll open up their eyes. Give them wisdom, discernment. And to follow, Lord, the scriptures of the King James Bible. Guide us tomorrow, Lord, and rest this week, that we deliver the word. Protect us away from interruptions, distractions, to keep us focused. We pray for our brethren, pray for family members, pray for our veterans. We pray, Lord, for wisdom and discernment in these end times that's approaching. All these things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. We'll see you all tomorrow. Have a good night. God bless you. I do thank you all for stopping by. So you'll have a good night. God bless you. This is your watchman. Signing off.
I am with you every day.